Unfortunately, we have to begin with a sad update on the shooting that took place earlier this month on Ashley Forest Road. The victim in that shooting, 25-year-old Elijah Smith, has died. 27-year-old Kamani Eason was already in custody for the shooting. Chapel Hill police say his charges have now been upgraded to first-degree murder. On campus, Chancellor Kevin Guskowitz has named the new dean of the UNC Graduate School, Beth Meyer Davis. Currently chair of the Department of Nutrition in the Gillings School of Global Public Health and director of UNC's Nutrition Obesity Research Center. She'll replace Suzanne Barber, who's stepping down as UNC's grad school dean, to take over as graduate school dean at Duke. Other education news, the Chapel Hill Carrboro City School Board has signed off on a budget that includes 4 weeks of paid parental leave for staff beginning next school year. Board Vice Chair Ronnie Dossi said on Twitter she believes the district may be the first in the nation to offer that benefit. In health news, North Carolina saw another spike in COVID-19 numbers last week, with a 56% increase in COVID particles found in wastewater and a jump in hospitalizations as well. Locally, officials say our hospitals still have more than enough capacity to handle the patients they're seeing, but they also say it's especially important to make sure it stays that way. Here's Hillsborough Mayor Jen Weaver.
What the mayors are hearing from the health director and Chair Price, at least as of the end of last week, is that our hospitals are doing okay right now. For our area, we have such a big responsibility regarding our hospital system because, you know, we are home to a hospital that doesn't serve just our immediate community, but it serves our region and indeed our whole state. And so we are very mindful of how important it is that we do our part to keep our hospital system from getting overwhelmed.
That's Mayor Jen Weaver speaking last week on 97.9 The Hill. We also heard from Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger last week. She shared a caveat about those hospitalization numbers and the latest recommendations about how to stay healthy amidst the latest rise in cases.
We're urging caution. That's what we've been requested to do, too, from the national level, that people still want to get on with their lives, but they need to use a little more caution, whether that means wearing a mask or reducing those indoor activities, which is hard to do during the heat when it's so hot outside. But that the hospitalizations aren't going up for individuals who are experiencing severe COVID reactions. They are up a little bit because of people who are in the hospital for other reasons and are testing positive for COVID. So it's a very interesting dynamic right now. This strain doesn't seem to be causing as much severity as others, but it seems to be spreading even faster. We really try to encourage people to stop shaking hands as well. I know that seems hard for folks, but you know, this virus does spread very easily. And so I see workplaces going back into, you know, let's be a little remote again for a bit. And we want to make sure that we're planning for the future and how to work with knowing the virus is out there versus, you know, shutting down again. And we're not looking at another mask mandate. We want people to use their own caution and their own judgment at this point.
That's Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger there. You can listen back to those full conversations and read transcripts on our website, chapelborough.com. Over to Chatham County now, where WNCN reports two people had to be hospitalized and a third person had to be rescued by fire crews after Saturday's thunderstorm knocked a tree onto a house in Fearington Village. Fire officials say the damage has made the entire home unstable. In Raleigh, the General Assembly is reconvening this week, but House and Senate leaders say there won't be any votes. Governor Roy Cooper vetoed four bills last week, but lawmakers will not attempt any override votes until at least next month. Finally, back in Chapel Hill, where home building continues in earnest along Homestead Road. Last week, town staff held a public hearing with an architectural firm to discuss a new proposal for a development called Tri-Point Townhomes. 97.9 The Hill's Madison Ward has more.
100 single-family homes are proposed for land on 2217 Homestead Road in Chapel Hill, with 15% of the new developments designed to be affordable housing. Richard Gerlitz with Gerlitz Architectural Group said the project's major concepts are to create townhomes for single-family use, meet the goals of the future land use plan, provide missing middle housing, meet the town's affordable housing goals, and preserve accessible, mature forest.
The development program, in a little bit more detail, is to put 103 townhomes in. 86 of them are 26 foot wide with two car garages. 17 of them are 22 feet wide with one car garage. They all have driveways that support additional cars, so that if people are filling up their garages with things other than cars, there's space not on the street for them to park their car.
Recreational opportunities are also offered at the housing facilities, including pathways through the sites, exercise stations, connections to the trails, and community gathering spaces. If constructed, Tri Point Townhomes will not be far from another new development on Homestead Road. In 2021, Chapel Hill approved the 2200 Homestead project with the goal of increasing housing accessibility to residents. The project includes rental apartments, duplexes, and townhomes available at mixed income prices. Gerlitz said that in the Tri Point Townhomes, the affordable housing units will be dispersed evenly throughout the community. The developers in the meeting said they wanted to increase focus on Vision Zero to prioritize safety for pedestrians and cyclists. According to the town of Chapel Hill, Vision Zero is a global strategy designed to eliminate all traffic fatalities and severe injuries while increasing safe, healthy, equitable mobility for all. Community members had the opportunity on Wednesday night to share their thoughts about the proposal. That element of the project is something that Chapel Hill resident Diane Morgan said she appreciated.
So I noted, and you can actually see it in the design, that there is a narrow road connection at Kipling Lane that will allow safe access for walkers and cyclists between the two neighborhoods, will allow both neighborhoods access to the Carolina North Forest trails, and it will also allow unimpeded access for emergency vehicles, which is very important for our senior population in our neighborhood, as well as the population in the next door neighborhoods.
The developers also discussed the stormwater management system. The proposal says channels will run off through the storm drain piping in the roads to a stormwater management pond at the north end of the location. Inlets will be created along the Kipling Drive connection, and two wet retention ponds will collect the water draining from the site. Tim Somerville, the director for construction company Stewart, noted that the developer is proposing to capture all the water that runs off the new community's berm, which he said has two purposes.
We put that berm in the back, one for the privacy, but the real emphasis behind putting that berm was to capture stormwater runoff so it doesn't run onto your neighboring properties. So we are swaling that water. We do have some inlets within that swale to pick up that water and direct it to the stormwater pond that's shown on the south side. We'll put inlets along the Kipling Drive connection as far down as we can physically make it.
You can find plans for the Tri Point Townhomes by visiting the Town of Chapel Hill's website. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Madison Ward.
That website is townofchapelhill.org. And of course, you can head to our website, chapelboro.com, for even more news, including a piece from the Chatham News and Record about the coming need for two new elementary schools in the next 6 years. A lot of growth down there. And the story of a Durham man who bought a $5 lottery ticket this month and won $141,000. Time is 6:19. Time now for sports, brought to you this hour by Rosewood Wealth Management. Starting with basketball, where it became official over the weekend after decommitting from UNC, G.G. Jackson announced that he is committing to South Carolina instead, reclassifying into this year's class and starting for the Gamecocks this coming season. Jackson was ranked as the sixth best player in the nation for the class of 2023. ESPN reports he's the first player in the modern era to decommit from UNC and switch to another school. Over to football now, where we're just about a month away from the start of the college season. Last week, the ACC held its annual kickoff event in Charlotte with head coach Mack Brown in attendance, along with several Tar Heel players. 97.9 The Hill's Michael Coe has more on what transpired.
At this time last year, Carolina was viewed as a trendy pick for the ACC title and a dark horse for the college football playoff. What a difference 365 days can make. The Tar Heels arrived at the 2022 ACC kickoff in a position they're more accustomed to, lumped into the middle of the conference pack, largely viewed as a team that could make a bowl if things go right. Mack Brown seemed comfortable in the position of just another team. So comfortable, in fact, he said he'd like his team to be ranked even lower.
I love it because we were criminally overrated last year. So I tried to get us to be the 130th team with the expectation this year, but we're a little bit higher than that. What last year's team did really went unnoticed, the positive things they did. They beat Miami for a third time in a row. They beat Duke for a third time in a row. They beat a top 10 Wake Forest team. So there were a lot of great things we did. What we didn't do is we weren't consistent, and that's my fault.
Consistency is a point Brown and his new staff members have hammered home this offseason. And it's clear some of last season's losses still bother Brown to this day, to the point where the team's three main talking points have centered on turning around those results.
Our guys have been talking about three things. They've been talking about passion, they've been talking about accountability, and they've been talking about toughness. If we had had more of those three things last year, we could have won at Pitt, where we were in overtime against the conference champ. We could have won at NC State when we had a 9-point lead with 2 minutes left in the game. So we've got to go back and make sure that we're addressing all the little things on and off the field that we need to do to play to a standard.
The most glaring absence on UNC's roster is a sure thing at quarterback. Sam Howell is gone for the NFL, meaning Carolina is now in the middle of its first real quarterback competition of the Mack Brown era 2.0. Rising junior Jacoby Criswell and rising sophomore Drake May, brother of former UNC basketball star Luke, are the two top candidates for the job. Junior wide receiver Josh Downs, who has already been named to watch lists for the Biletnikoff and Maxwell Awards, is perhaps the only Tar Heel to generate any buzz this summer. The projected first-round NFL draft pick showed confidence in the team, no matter who is playing quarterback.
They've just been getting ready for the position, Drake May and Jacoby Criswell. I was sitting behind Dazzler some 2 years ago, and nobody knew who I was, so I feel like it's a similar situation. I've known Jacoby since I came in here. We came in here together, so that's my dog. And I've known Drake for a while, too. So seeing both of those guys get better and being able to display their talent this year is going to be something great to see. I'm not really worried about the quarterback position, as a lot of people are, because I know we have talent there, so it's going to be good to watch.
As one of the most experienced players on the offense, Downs will no doubt be a key cog in Brown's plans for this season. But if the on-the-field talent may be more unknown than in previous years, Brown said the intangibles of this team give him confidence 2022 will be a memorable season.
It just makes me sick when our team doesn't play with passion every week. And that's what I've seen these guys do every day of spring practice. So that's why I'm so much more excited about where we are.
For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Michael Coe.
One bit of baseball news. The Durham Bulls beat Norfolk yesterday 5-3, completing a three-game sweep at home. Bulls are back in action tomorrow, hosting Lehigh Valley at 6:35.